Well, good morning again. Our scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 31. It says this: He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. The scriptures are as relevant today as they were then. Amen? Well, a couple of summers back, one of my daughters was playing outside in our backyard, and she comes running in, and she says, "Daddy, there is a giant leaf in our mulch." And I go out there, and I look, and sure enough, there's a giant leaf growing in our mulch. And a couple days later, I look out there, there's another giant leaf growing in our mulch. And then a couple days later, I see this vine growing in our mulch. And then a few days after that, I see some of these small pumpkins starting to grow in the mulch in our backyard. We had realized that last fall when we were carving out pumpkins, one of us must have dropped some seeds in that mulch, and of course it began to grow that next summer, until the point where all the mint leaves in the mulch, all the weeds and everything else was kind of drowned out by this pumpkin patch that was growing in our mulch. So it is with the kingdom of God. The seed gets planted in our hearts, and it grows and it grows and it grows until the kingdom of God is what drowns out everything else, all starting with that single seed being buried deep in good soil. Now, let's talk about seeds for a second. A seed is a powerful structure meant to produce living and growing organisms. Seeds are always wanting to produce living and growing life structures, but they need to be planted in good soil in order to do it, a soft ground that is ready to receive and embrace the seed to the ground. And so it is with Jesus and the teachings about the kingdom of God. See, the word is like the seed. You see these parables from Jesus, and he's talking about the seed as in the word of God. If you go back to the Greek, the logos, the creative order of things, the life formation and structures, the word of God. See, the word of God is just like that seed. It's a power structure that produces and creates life in us. So we take God's word, which in essence is just anything that God has said. We take God's word, and we let it be planted on soft soil in our hearts. And one day, that seed begins to produce life above the surface. See, Jesus wants the power of the word of God, just like that seed, to fall on us under the surface. And in due time, begin to produce life in our being. So, we take his word, we plant it, and life grows in us. Now, one thing that I didn't understand for a long time in the Christian life is that the Christian life is a slow, cultivating, patient process. It's not a quick one that we force. How many times have we tried to do that? If you've ever planted a garden, you've tried to produce growth more quickly. Usually, that just backfires, doesn't it? You have to wait. It's a patient process. That seed gets planted, and you got to leave it there. You got to let it grow and cultivate and be patient and watch that seed grow life. One time we were at the beach and we had gotten groceries, and came to the end of the week, and the avocados that we bought were still not ripe yet. And so we were really hoping that they would be ripe so that we could eat them before we left. So one of our family members had this bright idea that he would start like banging the avocado on the table to try to make it ripen faster. And of course, you know, we open up the avocado and it didn't get ripe faster, but there was just one little black spot and everything else was just the same. That's how it works. So many times we try to force growth, but we just can't do it. It's God who produces the growth. Our role is not to produce fruit. Our role is not to be the seed either. Our role is to just have good soil for that word to be planted in. See, we're not responsible for producing the seed or producing the growth. We are only to focus on our own soil. And that's why Jesus would say things when he would do parables. He would say things like, "Those who have ears, let them hear." Now, the funny thing about that is the people he was speaking to, most of them probably did have ears. And maybe there were some people who didn't have ears, but actually could receive what he was saying. What's his point here? Those who have a softened heart, they're ready to receive, they're ready to listen, they're humble, man, they're hungry, they're thirsting for something else. Their heart is open to receive what it is that Jesus has to say. Jesus is saying here, those who are ready to soften that soil a little bit, to be open-handed to the word, everybody listen to this word because it's such good news. Now, I got to say, just because you're in a desperate situation doesn't mean that you have good soil for the word to be planted in. Maybe you've been hurt really badly, but yet you still hold on to bitterness or an ungrateful heart or anger or all these things. That soil is not yet ready to receive the word. We've got to soften that soil. Humility, desperation in our bones. Jesus says, if you are feeling a bit desperate, this word is for you. I mean, if there's room in your heart to receive this word, it is for you. Jesus speaks into this in Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 4. He says, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables so that, though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked out by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Now, let's just go through these soils, all right? So this is a good time, if you're a note taker, to take some notes. Let's start with the first one. The path. The word falls on a hardened heart. All right, so they hear the word and they just know better, right? And so secular world, they hear the word of God and they go, this is foolish, this is dumb, this is not something that I'm interested in. So they hear the word and then that's it. It's just, it's removed from them, it's gone. Or in religious circles, it's I hear the word, but yet my religious tradition starts to drown out the word. I don't want to hear about something that may be unfamiliar to me. And that's why the religious leaders of the day, they spend all their time trying to trap Jesus instead of actually thinking, I wonder if what Jesus is saying is actually true. Because there's no humility in that, right? They had these preconceived religious traditions that's how they were run, and they knew better from Jesus. They just thought they knew better, right? That's the hardened soil that we're talking about. The next soil was rocky ground, as in no root. There was some emotion there, maybe, when it heard the word, but did not really transform the life. So I think about, like, if you go see a good movie, you know, you might be moved during that movie. It might stir some emotions in you and things, and you might leave there going, man, that was a great movie, and you might talk about it a little bit more, but then the next thing you do is you go, okay, what's for dinner, or what's the next thing, right? Doesn't really take root, doesn't really change things. So it is with so many people who above the surface make a decision to follow Jesus, but don't in their bones, like deep within them, have a conviction that Jesus changes everything. That's what we're talking about when we talk about the rocky ground. And the next one is the thorny soil. And this one, it kind of makes its way down in us. The word kind of makes its way down in us. It starts to challenge some of our preconceived thoughts. It starts to make us critically think about maybe this word is true. But yet, at the end of the day, the things that drive us, the things that motivate us, the convictions of our heart, maybe the worries of life, or maybe the pride in our life, or maybe the pleasures of our lives, those still take the top spot. And I would contend that this is probably a lot of religious people, right? I mean, it's like, you know, there's the driver's seat for my life is still the thing that controlled me before. But Jesus is saying, I don't just want even that for you. Like, that's great that things are starting to grow in you and you're starting to ruminate, but I want the driver's seat. I want everything. Jesus wants everything. So, the last one is good soil. The humble, open heart that's softened and ready to receive the implanted word. See, and this is so important. This is why we don't try in our relationship with Jesus. Our relationship with Jesus looks less like willpower and determination and more about receiving and absorbing and retaining his word and letting that word grow and cultivate and bring new life within us, starting deep within our heart. I love that word that Jesus uses in this parable in Luke 8. He said, those who hear this word and retain it, and that word retain means to just absorb and just soak in and just ruminate and sit in the word. Those who do that, man, God will take that, and that seed gets deep within them in their convictions, in their heart, and then over time, what we see is he just starts to grow new life in us of the kingdom of God. That's the Christian life right there. It's not about trying harder. It's about planting that word deep within us and letting him produce the growth. We got to be more like that kid who, you know, grabs onto your leg, and then no matter where you walk and things like that, they just keep like going with you and grabbing onto your leg, you know? That's what we should do with the Word of God. We should go, I read this morning, and not just that 5-minute quiet time, you know? It wasn't just, I had my 5-minute quiet time, and now I'm going to absorb the rest of whatever I got. You know, whether it's social media or absorbing the insecurities that play in us over and over again. No, I'm going to absorb and retain and sit and ruminate on the Word of God. And what that's going to do is, that is what is going to produce the growth in our lives. Huge difference. So many times in my life, I've gotten caught trying really hard to produce that growth. When I need to ruminate on the Word, let that seed wiggle its way on down in my being all the way into my heart so that life can be produced. One of the biggest recurring arguments Morgan and I have had in our marriage is about me going to the grocery store. So I'll text and I'll say, hey, I'm on my way home. I'm going to get those diapers we need or whatever. And she'll text back, oh, well, if you're going to the store, there are also 27 other things that we need at the store. So why don't you just go ahead and get those too? And of course, my reaction is not what it should be over the years. It's, I wasn't planning on getting 27 things. I've worked all day and I just want to come home. I don't want to grab those 27 things. And a lot of these things on the list, I don't even know what they are. I mean, glycerin, what even is that? Who knows? I don't think anybody knows. I mean, is it a flour? Is it a cereal? I still don't know. Somebody tell me after the service. But undoubtedly, some of this stuff on the list, I'll come back home empty-handed, right? Now, early on, and Morgan hasn't done this in a long time, but early on, she would use shame as a method to get me to get everything on the list. It was, what do you mean you couldn't find it? It's on aisle one. It's right up there, right? So many times that was the conversation we would have over and over and over again. So, over time, I'm like, you know what? Next time she asks me to get something from the store, I'm going to be such a good husband, man. She's going to say it, and I'm not going to be frustrated. I'm just going to go, and I'm going to work hard to get everything, you know, and all that, and it's going to be just great. Well, it was great until it wasn't. And then when it wasn't, it was like all this frustration had built up and then exploded all at once with a statement like, well, why don't you just go to the store or something like that, right? That's what happens in the Christian life. You know, we just keep trying and trying and trying. And as Morgan and I have been a bit more focused on transformation instead of trying so hard to produce the growth, those grocery conversations have gotten better, mostly. And also, Walmart delivery has helped a lot with that, too. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. It is planting the seed, the word that has power to produce life within us. We don't have that power. We don't have that power for growth. We can't just try hard enough. We have to sit on, ruminate on the word of God that produces that power and that life change within us. Let's do this kind of as we close, and this might be a little bit confusing, so bear with me. Luke, would you throw that iceberg graphic up there? We've been on this for 3 weeks now. We talked about how above the surface, that's how most people live their lives, right? Changing behaviors, making little decisions of change, things like that. But then we talked about how just under that we have our emotions, right? Those sometimes just come to the surface. And under that we have our thought life, the things we think critically about. But beyond that, even lower than that, Jesus wants to get to the convictions of the heart. That's why he says in Luke 6, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why he says, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe. This word believe is like, don't just make a decision to follow him, but deep in your bones, the things that drive you, that's what he wants to be. Everything is about Jesus, those convictions deep within us, all right? So we've talked about that for a couple weeks. If you go to the next slide, Luke, this is what we're talking about today, and it's so similar to that iceberg graphic. See, Jesus is talking about the parable of the sower here, and he's saying, so many people, they don't get past the behaviors, and they just know better, and they don't want to look inwardly at all. It's that hardened soil, and the word can't get past that. But just under that, you may have an emotional response to the word. You know, you may just like, man, I'm really moved by that message or that worship set or that conversation. It really moved me. But then you just leave it there. But then on down from that, you know, it's a thorny soil, and you have a little bit of tension here. But then at the end of the day, the thing that drove you before continues to drive you. But beyond that, under that though, Jesus is saying, the word of mine needs to fall on good soil in order for there to be growth, in order for there to be life. Conviction deep within our bones has to change. The word has to go to a softened heart deep within us, our greatest convictions. In so doing, Luke, next slide, it will start to produce the fruit of the Spirit, the life change in our lives. That's the point here. We have to focus on our soil. Is our soil soft? Are we absorbing the word? Are we retaining the word? Are we sitting on it? Are we letting that seed get planted in us so that God now can produce that growth so that the fruit of the Spirit comes up above the surface, Luke, next slide, and produces just what Jesus is saying in that parable of the mustard seed. That's just one single seed. It's the word of God. It gets planted on our hearts, deep within us. And just that one single seed, which is the word, starts to produce things in our lives, like the fruit of the Spirit, and the kingdom of God now grows and grows and grows so that it drowns out the other things that have been planted in our lives. See, all the other things are so short-lived. They die, they wither, they fade. But those who let the word be planted on their hearts grow life far beyond any other plant. And the birds of the air perch in its branches. The world can see something different, something greater as we just focus on letting that word absorb into our being. Again, Matthew 13, verse 31. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it's the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. The question really is, what is growing in you? Are you cultivating, are you absorbing, are you retaining the word of God? Are you sitting each day on it over and over? And I don't mean just like a 5-minute quiet time to start your day, but to dwell in the word of God, to sit in it, to let it wiggle its way all the way down into the depths of our being to change and challenge everything. Because if so, then what's going to happen is over time, and perhaps we won't even notice for a while, but he's going to produce some life above the surface in us. It's not about trying harder. It's about planting that word deep within us so that he produces real life change. During this time of worship, it's going to look a little bit different. We're going to get a little wild today. All right, is that okay? So four of you nodded your head that it's okay. So okay, well, we'll see. Let's go. Hey, we can go with four. Let's go. But no, we're going to enter into a time of communion. We do this every several weeks. And the elements are in the front and in the back as well. And I'll explain that a bit further here. But also the second thing that we're going to do, if you would grab at the front, there are Post-its and there are note cards. And all that has is just, it just has a verse or a passage. I'd love for you to grab one of those during this time of communion and just take that with you all week long. If you can memorize that verse and then just sit in it, let it shape you. How does it challenge my worldview? How does it embed itself in me? Can I just sit on this verse all week long and let it transform some things? And perhaps if we'll do that, then over time we'll see how this word, how this verse does start to shape some things. And the challenges that I've had and the ways that I've made decisions and the frustrations and things like that, that God will take care of that as we plant and absorb this word in us. So during this time of worship, if you would grab one of these, if there are no more left, pick one. Pick a verse this week. Ask God, what verse do you want me to dwell on this week and absorb and retain? Second thing we're going to do, if you will, here in just a moment, grab the elements for communion and then bring it back to your seat, and then I'll come back up here and we'll all take communion together. But let me tell you why we take communion. Jesus is the one who brings life. Jesus is the Word of God. And through his death, he's paid the penalty that we deserved to experience death forevermore. And as we follow his example of dying, Colossians 3:3 says, "For you died and your life is now hidden in Christ." Now we experience his resurrection through that. But taking communion allows us to remember and reflect on the cost of our sin. And so during this time of worship, if you are a Christian, if you are somebody who has proclaimed allegiance to King Jesus, would you grab the elements during this time? But if not, I just want to encourage you to abstain from taking communion, but instead think about, what is it that is preventing me from going all in, for my deepest convictions to change, to align to Jesus? What is keeping me from rethinking my thinking at my core to align myself to Jesus and find life in his name? I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll enter into a time of communion. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the word. Thank you that you handle the seed. Thank you that you handle the growth. All we got to do is just have ears to hear and have a humility, soften that soil so that your word can be planted deep within us. And we do pray that your word would be planted deep within us, Father. Father, would you be so gracious this week to really challenge some things deep within us? Father, we love you so much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you will, go ahead and grab the elements. When you're back to your seat, I'll come up and we'll take it all together.